To impress upon you that should be one of your favorite songs. But just think about the words. Sometimes we don't understand everything that goes on down here. We go through trials and tribulations. We work hard and things still don't work the way we think they should. We get so caught up with how things should go here. But won't it be wonderful there? The heartache you're dealing with won't be there. The pain that you feel won't be there. I was talking with somebody earlier and they said, oh, my knees. And the older I get, the way I say, oh, my knees, right? Some of those pains that you have won't be there. Sometimes it's like, man, there is more month than there is money, right? But won't it be wonderful there where we won't have to worry about those things? And so I'm not trying to encourage you to make that your favorite song, but I think it's a great song. I want to talk to us this morning from the title, The True Declaration of Dependence. The True Declaration of Dependence. And we will use for our anchor scriptures Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, as well Galatians 5, 13 through 14, and then John chapter 8 and verse number 36. And we will weave those into our message and share with you this thought this morning, the true declaration of dependence. It's certainly a blessing to be gathered here together as the family of God. I'm going to pause here. I'm going to take this, I'm going to step away from my message and say, I personally am happy to see each and every one of you that are here today. You could have been at home still in bed, but God allowed you to be here today. You could have said, hey, you know what, it's the only day I get off in a week. I'm going to go shopping and do what I need to do, but I'm glad that God has brought you to be here today. I want to share, it's always an encouragement to see brothers and sisters together. So this week, our nation celebrates Independence Day. Is that right? Saturday, the 4th of July. Across America, families will gather together and have backyard barbecues, and I don't know who's cooking. Let me know. I'll come through to taste test. Whatever, if you have some ribs especially, I will be there, right? But families are gathering in the backyards to grill. Children will have flags. Fireworks will be shooting off in the air. Can y'all do fireworks in Tehachapi? Somebody's going to do them still, I guarantee that, right? Children will have fireworks, and they will light them off into the night sky. And then we'll remember the courage of the men and the women who sacrificed so that we might be able to enjoy the freedom that we have here today. And church, we thank God for those blessings. And we thank God that we can live in a nation where we can serve God. You know, there's some places you go throughout this world, you can't serve God like what we're doing this morning, right? I heard some places over in Africa, some places over in the Middle East, if we come to church together, they'll burn it down. They're killing people for coming to worship. So we need to thank God that we have those blessings. And we thank God for the liberties that we enjoy as citizens of this country. But this morning, I want to remind us that there is another freedom that is greater than political freedom. There is a freedom that no government can give you, and no government can take away from you. Back in 1776, courageous men signed a declaration saying, we no longer want to depend on the king. But nearly 2,000 years before then, Jesus Christ stretched out his hands upon an old rugged cross. He didn't sign a declaration with ink. He sealed a covenant with his own blood. He wasn't calling us to end up, he was calling us to be independent away from this world and be dependent on him. Jesus was inviting us into a complete dependence upon him. Church, the world defines freedom as I can do whatever I want to do. This is my life. I can live it as I want to live it. But Jesus defines freedom as this: I have been set free to become everything that God has created me to be. Because freedom without God isn't freedom at all. Let me say that again. Freedom without God isn't freedom at all. It's actually another form of bondage. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse number 36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." You notice the scripture doesn't say, you know, if the Declaration of Independence has made you free, if the Constitution has made you free. It says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And that brings us to our text. But before we get into Galatians chapter 5, we need to understand the why. Why Paul wrote these words. You see, false teachers had entered into the churches of Galatia, convincing Christians that faith in Christ wasn't enough. They taught that believers had to return to the law of Moses. If you remember, they were under the law of Moses, but after Christ, they were freed from the law of Moses and now under God. But they were saying, you know, the law of Christ isn't enough, right? Paul writes this letter with urgency. He reminds them that Christ fulfilled the law. Salvation is by God's grace through obedient faith in Christ. I want to pause there and just think about that for a second. Obedient faith. Y'all, we got to put some work into this thing. You can't just say, hey, you know what? I went to 3 out of 4 Sundays, check. I gave $10, check, right? It's about being obedient to God's word. Well, Johnny, what does that mean for us today, 2026? It means that, yes, we must come and worship and praise. You know, some think, oh, well, again, I got 75% of the time here, right? But if we look at Hebrews chapter 10, 24, it says this, that we should encourage one another in love. That's why we come together. Think about it this morning. You see somebody you haven't seen. It's like, oh, it is so great to see you. You feel love, and you want to give that love. That is the importance, and that is the reason why we come together. So when Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in this liberty, he isn't talking about political liberty. He isn't talking about political freedom. He's talking about freedom Christ purchased on Calvary. Church, before we celebrate America's freedom, let's celebrate the freedom that only Jesus can give us. That brings us to our first point this morning. If Christ has truly made us free, then we must understand what that freedom costs. The price of true freedom. Freedom. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1 declares this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Church, some of us are still fighting battles Jesus already won. When you obey the gospel, you were buried with Christ in baptism. God didn't simply improve your life. He changed your life. Your sins were forgiven. Your guilt removed. Your past was washed away. So why are we still trying to wear the chains that Christ already broke? America's freedom cost the blood of soldiers. Our spiritual freedom cost the blood of the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Don't trade away what Jesus purchased so dearly. Brothers and sisters, freedom isn't found in doing what I want. That's how we characterize freedom. I get to do what I want. I can do this and I can do that. Nobody can tell me, and they can't do this and they can't do that. But true freedom isn't found in doing what I want. Freedom is found in belonging to Christ. But church, God didn't set us free just so we could sit comfortably. Freedom always comes with a responsibility. Freedom always comes with a responsibility. I don't want to tell too many police stories, but I'll share one. So One day, my partner and I, we're on patrol, and we pull over this person, and they were speeding, and they didn't stop at a stoplight, and they just took off. And pull them over. I'm driving, so you know I'm going to catch them. Nobody gets away from me. I'm sorry. So he was trying to be slick and go in and out, and Derek, he tried to dip down a corner, but look here. I know what I'm doing. So I pull up right behind him, and we walk up, and you can't do this, and I can do this because I live here in America. I can drive any way I want to. License and registration, please. And his point was, hey, I have the freedom to drive how I want to drive. I have the freedom to act how I want to act. License and registration, please, right? So he doesn't hand me the license. He throws it. Now, I don't ever want to talk violence in the church, but normally those are fighting words. But y'all had to preach the next day, so I did not want to come to church with a black eye. So, you know what? I get him out of the car. You pick that up. We picked it up, and you can't make me. He did it anyways, right? The whole point is this. Sometimes we get caught up in our head. We have this freedom. I have the freedom to drive. I have the freedom to do this. I have the freedom to do that. But I want to tell us, as children of God, our freedom is in Christ, because one day, all of the stuff we're dealing with, one day, we get to live in a place. The streets are like pure gold. We'll be able to sing praises to God all day. That is what true freedom is. We thank God for this nation and the freedoms that we have. But y'all, everything ain't free, right? The true price of freedom. God didn't set us free just so we could sit comfortably. Freedom always comes with responsibility. So I want to talk then on the mission of the liberated. The mission of the liberated. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 13 says this, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Right? Let that sit on your heart for a second. It says, we have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. You know, a lot of times we want to sit back and say, I can do what I want to do, because we're trying to appease the flesh. We want to do things our way. You can't tell me how I can, because I'm free, right? And the scriptures encourage us, allow this freedom to allow you to serve one another. Serve one another. We talked about it this morning in Bible class. Let me pause and give a commercial for Bible study. Bible study every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. every Sunday, and then throughout the week, the sisters have Bible study. It's an opportunity to come out and to learn God's will. That was a free commercial, right? It was a free ad, but I mean it seriously. For those of us that were in Bible study, y'all, I'm going to be honest, I had a great time in Bible study, and I was very encouraged by the number, by the discussion, by what we talked about. So those who weren't here, I love you, but you missed something great. You had a great opportunity. Blair, am I right? We missed something great. Right? We had a great opportunity to sit and talk and share and understand the Bible. You know what? Sometimes even for those who are teaching the class, we don't have all the answers. Man, a couple of y'all said some things this morning. I'm going to take back. I'm probably going to make it a sermon, right? Because I'm like, oh, that was great. I didn't think about that, right? There it is. Derek, there's a free commercial for the church, brother. All right. It says that we should not use the opportunity for the flesh, but through love we need to serve one another. That's the kingdom freedom, y'all. That's really it, the kingdom freedom. Jesus didn't save us merely to escape hell. He saved us to serve. So you're saying, Johnny, that if I just go to church, that's not enough? No, I'm saying we need to serve. your brothers and sisters. Jesus declared his mission in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, where he says, "For the Son of Man has what? Come to seek and save that which was lost." By the way, another scripture we used in our Bible study this morning. Church, that is now our mission too. We are part of God's team. The Lord is the head coach. The head coach wants us to run a certain play. We run a certain play, right? We have been set free to help someone else find freedom. It is great for us to be sitting in this air-conditioned building to sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." But if we don't go out and share the message with others, we've missed the point. If we don't go out and serve one another, we've missed the point. If we don't go out and show love to folks that look like us and even those that don't look like us, we've missed the whole point of the Lord, right? We are Christians, right? Root word of Christian is Christ. Oh my goodness. You mean I gotta be like him too? Yes. And his mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. We have been set free to help others find freedom. We serve, we forgive, we encourage, we teach, we give generously. We love sacrificially because freedom isn't selfish. Freedom serves. And church, if we're truly living as free people, there is one day we should always be preparing for. Not Independence Day. We shouldn't always be trying to prepare for retirement or our vacation, but we should be preparing for eternity. It's our next point. Preparing for the final homecoming. Y'all, you think about it. We got the holidays coming up. I got folks in the office, and they got all the flags and the window stickers and all this stuff, and they're prepared for that. And then for Memorial Day, there was all kind of decoration. And then when Thanksgiving comes, they'll put a bunch of turkeys up there and a bunch of things, right? But they're preparing for that, and they're getting their mind ready for what's coming. Well, brothers and sisters, we got to get our mind ready for what's coming, and that's eternity. And I know for some that may be a scary thing to think about. But you all, yesterday at this time right now, I was given a eulogy. Is that right, Denisha? For someone who passed away. Unexpectedly. Older than me, but younger than some of y'all. He was 59. Right? Passed away unexpectedly. We don't know. And this isn't a scare tactic. This is a real tactic. This is real. We need to prepare for the final homecoming. When we are preparing to meet the Lord, are we really thinking about how serious it is? Amos chapter 4, verse number 12, the back half of the verse says this, "Prepare to meet thy God." Prepare to meet thy God. Church, one day, every firework will fade. Every flag will be folded. Every earthly kingdom will pass away. But the kingdom of God will stand forever. So let me ask you this. Are you ready for that? Are you ready? Are your garments washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you serving faithfully? Are you loving deeply? Are you giving generously? Are you working daily with the Lord? Because one day, brothers and sisters, our citizenship in heaven will matter far more than our citizenship on earth matters. We talk about freedom here in the United States, and we thank God for that. But sometimes I think we bolster and hold that up higher than our citizenship one day of trying to make heaven our home. I live in the land of the free, home of the brave. We'll say that. But will we say that one day I want to make heaven my home? We'll put up stickers and flags to show I am a proud citizen of this great country. But are you going to hold up the bloodstained banner of our son, of the Lord's son, Jesus Christ? I'm not here knocking our nation. I live in it. I love it. I serve it. Okay? But better than serving this nation, better than living in this nation, is one day we're preparing for a place. Let me close with this. I once heard about a prisoner that finally was released after many, many years. The paperwork had been signed. The sentence had been completed. The prison gate swung open. The guards told him, "You're free to go." He slowly, y'all, walked outside of the prison. He looked around. He stood there for a few minutes. And then, to everyone's surprise, he turned back around. He walked back into the cell and sat down on the bunk. And the guard said to him, "What are you doing? You're free." The man quietly replied, "I know I'm free, but I lived in this place for so long, I don't know how to live outside of it." And church, this morning, I wonder how many Christians are doing the same thing. Jesus has opened the prison door. The price has been paid. The chains have been broken by baptism. The gate is standing wide open. Yet we keep walking back into the prison cells of guilt. We keep walking back into the prison cells of fear, of anger, of bitterness, of addiction, and shame. The devil wants you to believe you're still locked up. But Calvary says otherwise. The tomb is empty. The chains are broken. The prison door is open. Jesus said again in John chapter 8, verse number 36, "Therefore, if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be freed indeed." Church, we need to stop living like a prisoner. When Jesus has already made you free, walk out of your prison and walk into grace. Walk into his freedom. Walk with Christ and prepare yourself for the day that you walk through heaven's gates, where you'll never be bound again. Brothers and sisters, real freedom isn't in independence from God. Real freedom is found in complete dependence on him. That is where our true freedom is found. So if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, I'm going to tell you this morning that Jesus is inviting you into true freedom. I don't know who's a member, who's not a member. One thing I always do, some people call me old school, but that's all right, call me old school. But I always want to share the way that you become part of God's family. You guys, I told someone that tomorrow's not promised, but I actually want to take that back. The next 20 minutes isn't promised. The next half hour isn't promised. I shared something kind of scary with my wife. It was yesterday, I believe. You guys, you know, one day I'm at work, I'm on patrol with one of my partners. We had a good day, everything was smooth. We got off, a good smooth day means you get off on time, right? No, we call it no hits, no fouls, no errors. Everything was good. So we got off on time. A couple hours later, I'm laying, it was hot, had the AC on, was kind of chilling on the couch. I get a call. "Hey, Johnny, did you work with Deputy so-and-so today?" "Yeah, I did." "Was he okay?" "Yeah, everything was fine, man. We had a great day. This is, we ate an El Pollo Loco. I had the two-piece combo. I remember exactly, right?" I said, "Why?" "He just died." "Are you serious?" "He just died. Y'all, I just saw him 2 hours ago." And just like I'm sharing that story, you could share the same story. I know you know someone. You just saw them and they're gone.
You just talk to them and they're gone. Nothing is promised. Okay? We need to prepare to meet God. One of the best ways to prepare to meet God is to be part of God's family. We talk about heaven, but heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. For Jesus, for the Lord's people, right? You guys, guess what? If you come to my house, you can't get in because you don't have a key. Because guess you don't live there. You're my brothers and sisters. I love you. Call first, right? And we'll let you in. But I can't just go to your house and open the door and go in the refrigerator or whatever because it's not my house. So I want to encourage us this morning that are not part of God's family. You just can't walk on in because you're not part of the family. But I want to tell you, you can walk in when you become part of God's family. How is it, Johnny, then that I become part of God's family? You must first hear the word of God. Believe what it is that you have heard, and that belief is going to cause some action. Think about it. Somebody says, hey, you know what? There's $1,000. All you got to do is go down there. If you believe it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go in your car and go down there. Is that right? Right? Well, that belief causes some action to repent of your sins. Repent means, I used to say, make a 360, but 360 puts you back in the same direction. You got to make a 180. Is that right? You make a complete 180, go back the other direction, and then confess that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, and that confession is made daily as we live. And then go down into the watery grave of baptism, and the scriptures then say this, rise and walk in the newness of life. Y'all, I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but there is somebody here that needs to become part of God's family. Don't let another minute go by. Don't let another day go by without becoming part of God's family. There is no guarantee that you'll make it till next Sunday. Well, you know, Johnny, I want to get baptized when my kids can come, and my grandmother can be there. And there's no guarantee that grandma gonna show up, that you'll make it for the next time. And y'all, this isn't about fear. This is about real, right? The scriptures say, rise and walk in the newness of life. Maybe you're part of God's family, but just some things just ain't right. You need prayer. I shared with you last week. I'll share with you if you invite me up next year. That prayer, I think, is the greatest tool that we have in our spiritual toolbox. That probably is the most underused tool, right? Y'all, if you go into my toolbox, I got some socket I've never used in my life. I just never had a chance to use it. Got all these tools, and I'll probably use an Allen wrench more than anything nowadays, right? But in our spiritual life, prayer is the greatest tool that we have. I want to encourage you, come down and ask for prayer. Stand where you are, ask for prayer. Don't leave today knowing you got something on your heart, things aren't going right, and you don't ask for prayer. Ask for prayer, right? The Lord loves us, and He is faithful to do the things that we need Him to do. Want us to walk in His liberty, serve in His love, prepare for your heavenly home. And if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, you can do that right now as together we stand and as we sing our invitation hymn.